Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, Andy can hear. But international break is over. It was full of heart. It was full of punch. International break is over. No more international breaks until the end of the season. We have three doubles, probably. We have chips to be played. It is crunch time. After a little break, Andy, we are back. How are we doing?
Good, my friend. I'm fresh off the plane, actually. Landed about a couple of hours ago. It's also very interesting how when we're talking on the pod, Harry, sometimes the chat is sort of silent, and then whenever we make a mistake, the chat goes wild. So it's nice to see. I also saw that it's somebody's birthday, Matthew Kroll. Happy birthday to you, my friend, all the way from Atlanta. So good to have you guys in the chat. As you mentioned, Harry, it is crunch time. I believe we have, you know, maybe 30-40 days left of the Premier League.
Yeah.
Nonstop action, Champions League still in play. Very, very excited for the final end of the season. And, you know, hopefully we can make a push.
Yeah, it's finally time, you know, to make some of those big decisions. We've been talking if, buts and maybes in FPL for the past, what feels like, well, since about game week 20, haven't we? And it's finally much less if, buts and maybes. We have much more confirmed, which is what we're going to go through a lot of today. Yeah. How are you feeling for the rest of the season?
What's the deal with the fake Harrys? Like, why people mentioning that?
Yeah, we don't need to go into that. But there's just a troll who's been creating accounts, and his latest one is a fake version of me giving fake injury news. So be careful out there, people. Be careful out there, people. And to clarify, I have no news on Saka's injury. I have no clues. How are you feeling for the rest of the season?
I feel really good. I feel like, you know, just rank-wise, in good position. I think this week is the one we have to get over. I don't know about you. Your team's very different from mine, actually, when we were discussing pre-show. But for me, I'm most likely going to go against Salah. Trust in my guy, Son, this week. We'll definitely be speaking about captaincy. But once next week gets rolling, yes, there's a hit involved for my case, potentially no hits. But from game week 31, I feel like the fixtures have turned out really well for us to navigate game 34 and 37.
Yeah, so what we've got up on screen is FPL.team. Pete is in the chat. We have the predictions for game week 36 and 37, which are in combination with Planet FPL. Game week 34, of course, has been confirmed. We have doubles for Arsenal, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, Everton, Liverpool, Sheffield United, and Wolves, with a blank in there for Spurs. Yeah, so to be honest, as a free hit 29er, it was an awful, awful game week. But the way the doubles have fallen, I mean, in my opinion, chip strategy is not going to be what decides rank at the end of the season. It feels like in previous seasons, nailing your chip strategy has been what's decided you. It feels more like this year that it will be the players you pick, the differentials you go on, getting a haul here or there, is what's going to decide it. I don't know if you feel the same. Because
that is a great point. Last year at the wildcard 26 kind of timeline, it was a big factor, right? Some of us, like myself, wildcarded later, and I kind of regretted it at the end in hindsight. But you're right. This year, I think most of us have the similar amount of chips left. Some might have a free hit left still.
Yeah.
But it's easier to navigate. I think it's really straightforward. There's plenty of content out there, but you could just sit down, look at this chart, and figure it out, because game week 34 plus and 34 back beyond, post 34 and pre 34 are very easy to navigate if you have a wild card. So yeah, you're right. It's going to be about nailing the right players. And also, like, things like this week when Salah does well and Son doesn't do well, like, that's going to be a big factor as well. So it's going to come down to the nitty gritty, to say the least.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that Salah versus Son we'll talk about is going to be huge. Plus things like Watkins versus Darwin this week, and like Isaac versus Solanke as well. Like, a lot of the wild cards we'll look at have Isaac Darwin in. And like my team, I'm still on Watkins, Solanke. All four of them have really good fixtures this week. And it's just going to come down to which side of the coin we fall on.
Yeah. And things like this too, right? Game week 35 comes. All of us are going to be focused on Chelsea and Tottenham, as well as the other doubling teams in 37.
Yeah.
And we're going to be lacking that, Arsenal and Liverpool players.
Like, yeah,
other players from other stars from the stronger teams that also have good fixture in 38, right? So it's easy to navigate, but there's certain nuances. Like, are you going to double up on a certain team? Are you going to have one player from Arsenal? Are you going to have two players from Arsenal? Stuff like that, right? So yeah, we'll see how it turns out. But at least for now, I feel good about 31 beyond.
Yeah, I built my first draft of a game week 35 wildcard. And it's interesting because, game week 35, Arsenal away at Spurs. You've got Liverpool away at West Ham, then home to Spurs. And it's, the likes of Saka. It's at the time of the season where we'll start to think, well, we've got four game weeks left. We'll have to start getting rid of some of those big hitters to maximise doubles. But game week 30, you've still got nine game weeks left. It feels a little bit early to make some of those massive risks. But if you're really chasing rank and really chasing people, then maybe this is the time to start thinking about it. But it feels a little bit too early for me.
Yeah, agree. You still have to attack the fixtures, right? You still have to attack the doubles. And if you have a double-double, it's better than having two games, right? But, there's other factors like fixture congestion right now. I mean, Harry, I'm sure you're going to mention all the injuries starting to pile up even right before us going live, right? The congestion is something to navigate too, right? I think Liverpool, Spurs, Chelsea all have, Arsenal, Liverpool, Man City all have really crazy schedules.
Yeah.
So things like that we have to watch out for as we go. I don't think you have to worry too much about it right now.
Yeah. It's feels like it's been the season of injuries, right? I feel like every week I'm making a transfer based off I've got an injured player, and it's the same again for me this week, that my transfers will come down to injury news, which, I'm missing price changes every night because I'm having to wait to know if players are available or not. So before we go any further, it's probably worth caveating our chip strategies for the rest of the season, because it will impact the players that we're more likely to talk about. Of course, we'll try and cover a few other strategies in this bit as well, but I feel like we're both on the wildcard 35 bench boost 37 route. Is that right?
Correct. I mean, we both have the same chips remaining.
Yeah.
I don't think bench boost 34 makes any sense, personally speaking. But even if we have the same strategy, you and I, Harry, we do have different players right now that it's going to be very interesting how we navigate pre-34. I think the next four game weeks will be very different for you and I. So, so watch out for that, chat.
Yeah. Suppose the other big strategies, of course, are wildcard 30 and 31. And as you say, because the teams who double in 34 and 37 are so different, I feel like that only does work if you have a free hit available. I tried to build a wildcard draft with no free hit available. And it does just become difficult. You do just have to massively sacrifice one of the doubles, or you put yourself in a position where you target both of them a little bit. It makes the bench boost really difficult if you wildcard this week without a free hit. It's possible to do it if you're not going to bench boost, but it makes the bench boost really weak if you wildcard now without a free hit.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's as easy as people say about wildcarding now without a free hit in 34, because I think it's because you and I just are so, we're probably just too picky. Like, we want to maximize everything. And you're going to be lacking players. And as important as it is to, you know, focus on the double game weeks, there's points to be had along the journey, right? All the way up to game week 37. So,
yeah. One interesting strategy that I wanted to talk about, which I don't think, I've heard a couple of people talk about it. And that is, if you've got all your chips left, but you like your team, a free hit 34, wildcard 35, bench boost 37 actually looks really exciting. Naturally, we don't like to wildcard straight after a free hit because it doesn't always maximize your strategy. But doing that allows you to target the next 4 weeks and not have to worry about 34. So you can keep the likes of all your City players for Villa, Crystal Palace, Luton. You can have a little, like, go Chelsea with their next four. Free hit 34, wildcard 35. It's, if you're looking for something a little bit different and you've got all your chips left, I quite like it. I think it's quite powerful if you don't need to wildcard now. Of course, if you need to wildcard now, then go for it. Wildcard 30, free hit 34. But it's just something a little bit different I saw being mentioned.
What about that? What if you have all your chips, thinking about a wildcard 35, bench boost 37, free hit 38?
Yeah. It kind of depends, right? If your squad in 34 is good enough without the free hit, free hitting on the last day of the season is always crazy valuable, right? Because there'll be rotation, there'll be things that happen, you know.
Leaks too.
Mm-hmm. Leaks. You don't know who's going to be, which of the teams are going to be fighting for something on the final day of the season. So I really like a free hit 38. I just would be surprised this year with the way the doubles have fallen, the big blank, if many of us get to game week 38 without it. But if it works, it definitely works.
Yeah. I mean, I think the sensible thing is free hit 34, but I just keep coming back to, like, I think the ranks are going to be so squeezed as we get towards the end that if you're pushing for a top 10K at the very end, last game week, which a lot of people might be, or like top 50K, top 100K, a free hit 38 might be even more effective than trying to one-up the guys like us that are not free hitting in 34, because I think our non-free hit in 34 is still pretty decent. 9 to 10 doublers, potentially one less, one more, right? So, I mean, no Salah, I guess, this week, but maybe Son does better, right? So,
Yeah, and that game week 38, if you get to the end and Arsenal, Liverpool, City, all in theory can still win the league with good home fixtures.
Exactly.
And you could free hit triple Arsenal, triple Liverpool, triple City, and then have two others, like, I don't know, you take a punt on, like, your two others are Spurs away at Sheffield United. Like, that game week 38 team, crazy that no one else is going to have a setup like that because of the doubles and the chip strategies that they'll have. So, yeah, if you can hold your free hit to 38, you're going to almost certainly have a banging team that week.
Yeah, it's going to be a big advantage, but food for thought for those with everything.
Cool. So, I suppose looking at the seven teams we've got doubling in game week 34, those are the ones that we are really looking to target at the moment. We'll talk about players that we're going to sacrifice in a moment, but is it all on Salah for you? Is he just the number one? Are all the others sort of placeholders for players you want to buy for 34? Is Salah the be all and end all, or do you really like Darwin? Are there others that you're looking at?
I mean, I think I really like Salah, obviously. Yeah. But, I get the hype on Darwin. Right. First of all, we have to understand Sheffield, Man United, which is goals, Crystal Palace, Fulham, Everton. Maybe Fulham, Everton aren't as easy as it seems, but still, right? That's 3-5 fixtures in a row.
Yeah,
where you want to have Salah at least. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you probably say that Liverpool double is the easiest, though. They're both away, though. We know what that Spurs team did away at Fulham, but it's not Liverpool, right? You'd expect Liverpool to win both those games. But go on.
It doesn't matter. I think it doesn't matter, Harry, because we have to target. We have to go for it, right? It's just at that point in the season, you have to go for it. And the ones that appeal are Liverpool, Arsenal, I think maybe Crystal Palace, right? So you want to be loaded up on Liverpool, Arsenal. Arsenal, we already have. Most of us do. So, yeah, it's a no-brainer to bring in these players. Salah is a no-brainer for me, but I just don't know about Darwin, man. Like, I think we're maybe 50% forced into bringing in Darwin because of the fixtures, the way it's laid out. And yes, I understand he has massive XG. Yes, I understand Liverpool look good. But I've just never really had good results owning him, right? So, but there is nowhere else to look in terms of forwards. And if you're able to somehow keep Watkins for the next few weeks, you know, even with the tough fixtures, maybe game week 34, you bring in Darwin then. I feel like he could even match him in these tough fixtures. It's just, I would like to challenge the thought of, you have to bring in Darwin next week or you have to bring in, you know, whoever else the Liverpool players are. So I'm struggling a little bit to figure out who the second and third Liverpool assets will be for my team. But yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, so I mean, I'm probably, when we get to our teams, going to challenge the Darwin thing more because I don't have a massively easy route to him. And now I could sell Watkins, but if I sell Watkins to Darwin, then I have to sell Son. But if I don't go Darwin and I go cheaper, I can sell Gordon to Son and keep Gordon to Salah and keep Son. So I agree. I think I like Darwin and I'm pretty sure I'll own him in the double, but I don't know at what point over this run of games I'm going to buy him. I'm not going to buy him this week. I might buy him for 31. I might not. And then if I don't buy him in 31, I'm not going to buy him in 32 for United. And then, you know, 33 Palace at home, I like. So there are some Liverpool injuries that we should probably touch on. It sounds like all of Trent, Alisson and Jota are expected back in 33. 32 is, you know, only a week away because of the way the fixtures fall. But Jota, Trent, Alisson could all be back by the double. Now, that does create, you know, issues for some of the players we're looking at. In theory, you know, I think Darwin will play all the games, but it's a slight risk on Darwin. It impacts Kelleher, who I'd love to buy, and it impacts Connor Bradley, who I'd also love to buy this week. The cheap options, so the safe option is to go Van Dijk, right? He's about the only safe one in the defence. And he's finding routes back to goal.
He's just a great, great option.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's a great option.
Does Jota coming back impact your Darwin thoughts? It doesn't really for me.
Okay, so I was going to go there, but before we go, like as we go there, I want to ask you this. Let's like kind of work backwards. If we were at game week 34, you know, tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe free hit, maybe not. But anyways, if we are game week 34 tomorrow, who is our ideal five? Right? Let's say Salah, Saka, maybe Eze. Who's the other two you would say?
Oh, what?
I'm putting you on the spot here. In midfield. I'm talking about midfield. Yeah.
I'd have Salah. I'd have Eze. I'd have Saka.
Saka.
And I'll probably play a midfield four. I'll probably play three forwards. I'll probably play 3-4-3. And the final one, Havertz, an Odegaard, a Luis Diaz.
No, you can't do Arsenal because let's say you have double Arsenal defense.
Okay, I mean, I don't, but Diaz.
Okay, right? So like if you're doing Diaz, and then who's the front three then that week?
Then I can't get Darwin or a defender. So maybe it's someone like a Hwang Hee-chan if he's going to be available. My front line is going to be Solanke, Darwin and another one, probably.
Right. So if you don't do Darwin, you could do a Jota or Lewis and then a fifth mid, like a Hwang-Chan going to be back in time. Sarabia. Okay.
Sarabia, as Zoran in the chat is saying, is a nice shout as well.
Yeah.
And he doesn't look injury prone like the rest of that Wolves team at the moment.
Okay. So it comes down to being a Liverpool mid versus Darwin, essentially, for that last spot.
But I don't think it's impossible. I go without a defender for Liverpool.
Because, okay. So, yeah, there you go.
Because it's so expensive. Because. Mm-hmm. If I knew Connor Bradley or I knew Alisson Kelleher were going to play both in the double, fine. Like, they'd be straight in. But if I don't know that's going to be the case, Van Dijk is 6.5 million. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to get there. So I might end up on triple attack just because I find it much easier to get a midfielder in and Darwin than I will find it to get a Van Dijk in my team.
Yeah. Okay, now I got an idea. I just kind of want to... I mean, we have a luxury position of basically, obviously dead-ending to 34, but we can mess around, right? Like, I feel like it's okay to go for a Jota and Luis Diaz because I'm, like, very Jota curious, to say the least.
Yeah, Jota worries me too much now. Like... if he's only going to be back in 33, the chances of him starting both in the double are almost zero. The chance of him starting one in the double, I still is at 50% at a maximum if he's back in 30. If he's on the bench in 33, the chance of him starting one in the double, I think, is at 50% at a maximum. So
yeah.
I would just go Luis Diaz. I think there's virtually no chance I own Jota for the double.
Yeah, I mean, this conversation makes me think that Darwin is just the obvious pick then.
Like, yeah.
Regardless.
Yeah, I agree. I think Luis Diaz is nailed. I think that's their front three, though. Luis Diaz, Darwin, and Salah. Like, I think you can pick any three of those. And last double.
Let me ask you this. Sorry to cut you off. Who's the defense? Who's the defense in 34? Like, you know, if you're sacrificing a Liverpool defender, it's double Arsenal plus freaking Zabaria.
Zabarni. I mean, I quite like Palace's double and an eight Nori. Palace have got West Ham at home, Spurs at home.
It's a good attacking fixture, but not good defense.
West Ham at home, Newcastle at home. Yeah, the defense this year, I want to pick the rest of my team for the double. I don't know if people in the chat are the same. I'll focus on my front seven and I'll fill the defense with teams who have a double and it will be what it will be. Like, I'll have Gabriel, I'll cover Arsenal. But yeah, interesting.
Okay.
If I ask you the same question for Arsenal, now I know you're saying you've got double defense and you know, you're going Gabriel Saliba. I don't have Gabriel Saliba. So I have Gabriel Saka at the moment.
Okay.
I like the look of Odegaard. I like the look of Havertz. I also like the look of David Raya as well.
Okay.
If you were free hitting in 34, would you go double defense still?
No way, dude. No doubt I would go double offense, mid. Yeah, no doubt about it, right? Like, I've been trying to figure out a way where I have a potential luxury transfer where I can make that move in 34, you know, without a hit, obviously. So no chance I would go double defense. I mean, I'm happy with double defense in 34. Plus the fixtures leading up to it, like, you know, Luton, Brighton right there. But yeah, if I had a chance, I'd go Saka plus even Havertz, man. Like, you know, maybe this is...
I was going to ask.
Little...
Kamzi in the chat is asking about Havertz. Would you go there? I know they mentioned on Black Box last night that Jesus was back on the bench last game and he looked pretty good. Does that, like, is that enough to put you off Havertz? Because is Havertz going to start both in the double if Jesus is fully fit? Like, is that going to happen? Maybe, but maybe he plays deeper. But also, is the risk just too great?
Yeah, I didn't realize Jesus was back. So, yeah, I mean, then Odegaard makes more sense.
Yeah.
I mean, Havertz, I would pick Havertz over Odegaard right now, today.
Yeah.
If I knew they were playing 90 minutes both. you know, but mm-hmm. it's a double. You want both games. Maybe Havertz starts both games, but at least you know Odegaard is 180 minutes locked, right?
They'll have Champions League in the midweek before the double as well. Let me throw that one at you. Yeah. Against, who's it, Bayern Munich, their second leg as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They're fighting for the league, right? So
it's true, but it might just mean that, you know, it's just an extra fixture to congest with, that the rotation between Havertz and Jesus might be even more, you know, important.
More intense.
And then they go, you know, Chelsea at home, Spurs away after it. So there are so many fixtures in there.
Yeah. Exciting, man. I'm excited for 34. Mm.
So, I mean, those are the two big teams, but I think there's a load of nice differentials for this double. I know you said, you know, let's focus on, but the Palace double, I really like. West Ham at home, Newcastle at home. Wolves have a really nice run of fixtures between now and then double with two home fixtures. One of them is Arsenal, yes. The other one is Bournemouth. Those are the two that I look at, and I think there's options at both of them all across the pitch.
All right, well, let's start with Wolves, right?
Yeah.
So Neto is gone for the season.
Yeah.
Hwang is not coming back for a while. Like, you know, potentially a month, man. Like, from when he got injured. So
he's rumored to be back, like, game week 34. Like, that is the predicted time that he'll be back ready to play 34. So feels like a risk. If you own him, you can hold him. But yeah, risky.
Way too risky. So you've got, your top goal scorer and also your top player in Neto, both missing, which is fine, right? You still have Cunha, you still have Sarabia if you really want to go there. But the only option I see in Wolves is Aitnori. But even then, like this season, I think he's only had maybe one attacking return. So it's not as explosive as he looks offensively. It's not like he's going to be a guaranteeing your return. And I'm not so sure about the clean sheets there. Mm. So I'm surprised you think Wolves is not playing very well right now is what I'll say. But I am definitely excited about Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I think the benefit to Wolves is some of those fixtures they've got around the double as well, right? If you're looking for a defender to buy now, you can buy a Aitnori, play him away at Burnley, away at home to West Ham, away at Forest, plus the double. I think Palace are more appealing because of the double, but I think Wolves are more appealing if you need them in the build-up. Like, Aitnori I like. Sarabia, if you needed a midfielder, I don't hate. And Cunha is back in training as well. So I think there are some nice differentials there.
Yeah, yeah. I get it. You go Burnley, West Ham, Nottingham Forest.
Double.
Yeah, not bad.
Mm. Mm-hmm. The other one is Palace. You say you're a bit more excited by them.
Yeah, like once if Eze comes back, he has to be in our teams, right?
Eze is back. It's Elise who's still out, isn't it? I don't know.
Oh, Elise's out. Sorry, I haven't been watching too much Palace.
No, that's all right. It chops and changes. Eze played game week 28. So Eze's back, but Elise is still out.
Okay. So the obvious pick is Eze.
Yeah.
34.
Yeah.
Definitely. Any defenders?
Yeah. So I think Richards at 3.9 is a really nice option if you need a cheap enabler. He is playing centre back, but he is 3.9. Like, and he does have a double. And he scored the other week. Yeah. So Munoz playing wing back is so attacking. The only thing is he went off with a knock over the international break. But he looks so good going forward for them and scored over the international break for Colombia. Their goalkeeper is 4.4.
Yeah.
Henderson, because Johnson looks like he's out for the season. So I think there are options and they're nice and cheap. They're so nice and cheap.
Yeah. I might need one. Even though I just talked bad about their defensive options in 34, I might need a cash cow funder, right?
So, yeah. Mm. Yeah. And then the other one that I feel like I'm going to end up buying is Mateta up front.
Ooh.
So he's 4.9 and two home fixtures in the double and has been, you know, starting very consistently for them.
So who would you do? Holland to Mateta in 34?
No, it will probably, my plan would be Watkins to Mateta if I needed Salah money. And then I just bench Watkins, bench Mateta until the double. But for example, like if you can't afford Darwin, you can't afford Solanke, who are more ideal options for the double, would you go with a Cunha or would you go with a Mateta?
I would go with a Mateta.
You think? Yeah.
Actually, I don't know.
It's close. It kind of depends if you need them in 32, 33, doesn't it?
I just don't like that Arsenal fixture for Wolves. That's like screaming lockout or lockdown.
Well, exactly. We're all buying Arsenal defenders for that fixture, aren't we? So if you need the striker in 32, 33, then you probably go Cunha. If you can bench them, then you probably go Mateta.
Yeah, that's a fair way to put it.
I don't know if people in the chat have got any eyes on anyone from Crystal Palace or Wolves. I imagine the main names are Aitnori, maybe a Sarabia, but Aitnori and Eze are probably the top two. But if there's any thought for any of the others, because I just think that Palace team has got some differentials in for those two home games. Because they're also, like, they're going to be coming off Man City and Liverpool, right? So they're going to suddenly need some, going to look at some of those games and think that they might need some points from them. They might end up needing some points from them. So
I'm listening, man. I'm listening, Harry.
I'm trying to convince you. That's what it is.
You have a spidey sense for these Solanke hauls. So I
could do with one of those this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to me about, Crystal Palace. I'll go there if you convince me. So I'm listening.
And I feel like one of those teams that if you're free hitting in 34, you'll have a couple of them. Because people not free hitting will find it difficult to buy them because their run of fixtures before is not great. So free hit 34. FPL Callers just said Sam Johnson out for the season. Will it affect them? It will a little bit. Like Dean Henderson's fine, but he's not been great this season. So they might be a little bit weaker defensively without Johnson in goal. That is definitely true.
If you don't have a wild card later down the line, do you still go for Crystal Palace?
No. No. You probably buy more Wolves because they play Luton in 35. And then if you have to bench boost in 37 with Wolves players at home to Palace, like that's not the end of the world. Or you go Bournemouth who have Brentford at home in 37. So again, can help the bench boost.
Mickey Mouser, the reason why... in Harry's case, he's mentioning that is because he might own Watkins all the way through till 34. Like he's in a unique situation.
Mm. And, you know, Haaland has a good fixture away at Brighton. But if I offered you...
a doubler.
If I offered you Haaland or Philippe Mateta, then now we're having conversations.
I think also people might have a luxury transfer for that Haaland move. So in that case, it's going to be hard to resist pulling the trigger, you know?
Well, exactly. If you get No, go on.
I was just saying, we always love two fixtures over one, right?
Yeah, and if you get to 34 with 10 doublers, a transfer before you wildcard, and Haaland is your single game weaker, Haaland will be the one you sell.
Exactly.
I mean, I don't love the Bournemouth double, so I could sell... you know, Zabani to someone better, but I probably wouldn't do that. I'd probably sell Haaland.
I still have hopes for Zabani. I don't know why.
I mean, the fixtures are fine. Like, I'm so glad I've got someone in my defense with a good fixture this week.
Yeah.
With Everton at home. Kamsi is not doing Haaland to Mateta. Morris has taught you better. But even if you don't go, like, Mateta, you could go... like Solanke, Darwin, I suppose the third is difficult. So maybe you do keep Haaland. But yeah, it's interesting. I think there will definitely be people who sell Haaland going into that 34 fixture.
Yeah. I might need to bring in a Crystal Palace or Wolves player next week anyway to fund the Salah move. But all right, give me your top three then. Let's move on to the next team. But give me your top three from Crystal Palace.
Eze.
Okay.
Munoz in defense if he's available, and then Mateta.
Okay.
So that's the fixtures. I mean, we've covered a lot of the doublers. it's very easy for us to tell, you know, who to buy. It's slightly less easy for us to discuss who we want to sell.
I know.
Things are a lot more difficult. So what we've got up on screen are two wildcard drafts for you. One, which is the free hit 34, bench boost 37, and one, which is a little bit more focused if you're not going to bench, you're not going to be able to free hit in 34. If you've already used your free hit, the team on the right is something that you have to build towards. It's a little bit difficult if you're not free hitting 34 because you the doubles are completely different. But that's a little bit of a different one. Salah is the key one. So a lot of us are looking at midfielders that we're going to have to transfer out. The wildcard draft we've got here has no Saka. Do you take out Foden? Do you take out Son? So before we talk about some of the others, it would be good to hear your thoughts on Son and on Spurs and what we expect Richarlison to potentially do and what you think might happen.
Yeah. So let's remember the very last game before international break, which was the disastrous free hit 29 or game week 29. Fulham won, I think 3-0, 4-0. Yeah. They got destroyed, right? And let me tell you a little bit about what happened to Son after Asian Cup. There again, I mentioned this last time, but there was a big, big issue within the national team. Like the national team's a disaster right now. Mm-hmm. And he played 180 minutes in the international break. So he played in Seoul, and then they went to Thailand and played. So he played full.
When was that game?
Okay, so the Thailand game was on Tuesday, and the Korea versus Thailand game in Seoul was on Thursday last week. So there was a little bit of a gap, but you have to remember it's a 14-hour flight from London to Seoul, or 12 to 14-hour flight, and then a 6-7-hour flight. I've done all these flights before, by the way. From Seoul to Thailand, and then Thailand to UK is also not easy. It's like still a 10 plus hour flight. And the humidity in Thailand is insane, right? It's like, it's really, really strong. It's not too bad, but it's still really strong because of Southeast Asia. And it's World Cup qualifying. So it's like, they still had to play their best. Mm. So I was a little worried about his sort of fatigue going into game week 30. But just to sprinkle some good news is that they tied the first game. And I'm sure there's some Thailand listeners, and shout out to Thailand. I love Thailand, but we should be beating them, right? And it was chaotic after the first game. Like, you know how national team works in the UK. It's like, you guys tie, people talk bad, like blah, 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 right?
It happens after we tied a international break friendly the other week.
Exactly.
Should have seen Twitter.
Exactly. Yeah, the Korean blood is like way too passionate sometimes, right? So it was like, you know, they get so much hate, and they went to Thailand and they won, and he was like super, super happy because he made up with Kang In Lee, who he fought with at Asian Cup. I'm going on a tangent here. And as soon as he returned to the UK, he put on his Instagram in Korea, like, you know, like, I'm so happy to be playing football. Like this international break gave me a lot of happiness, like, mm-hmm. along those lines, right? So he's in a very good mood is what I like to say. So I feel good about having him this game week, but definitely there's fatigue adding up till now. Yeah. I don't know why I was going
if
on
you
attention
were...
there.
Mm-hmm. So on that, do you think Richarlison comes back in?
Yeah, so that's a big issue for me this week because I own Richarlison. Right. And
oh, wow.
If I knew he was starting,
you have to start him.
Of course, I have to start him if I knew he was starting, but I have to bench Saka in order to start Richarlison. And I have a big worry, Harry, that he might come off the bench. Like, so it might happen. But, anyways, what I know is Richarlison was on the bench for Brazil. And because they lost 3-0, 4-0 to Fulham, I mean, we're breaking it down here, but one of the reasons why they lost to Fulham, I believe, is because the pressing wasn't as good as it used to be, partially to fatigue. But Richarlison is really good at pressing as well, right? So I think Ainge will need to change it up. And and they played so well before he got injured, right? So my hopes are high, but obviously I can't guarantee whether he starts or not. So yes, I am starting Richarlison and Son, but you know,
I agree. I think if they'd beaten Fulham, it would be a different conversation.
Yeah.
But I think it's very easy now for Ange to have an excuse to bring him back in. I think he'll start. I don't think it makes Son a bad option because he's still playing up against Kabore, where Luton have conceded a whole host of chances. But I wish I had Salah. Salah is like the one I look at this week, and that could go horribly wrong. But
yeah,
if you were on wildcard this week, would you still own Son, or would you go Richarlison? Would you go Madison?
I mean, you know me. Like, you'd, I would definitely own Son. Yeah. You know me. But as a Son fan, like, I still think Salah is the best player in the league, right? Like, mm-hmm. I still think, or maybe Haaland, but not owning Salah definitely scares me. But again, if we can somehow cover this game week, like, the ones that have Salah and Son are laughing. And, you know, as long as Son can cover Salah this week, which I think is a bet that we should be willing to take. It is Luton, right? Like, the next week will be fine, right? Mm. But it is scary.
It is scary. So, looking at the wildcard drafts we've got here, there's no Saka in either. Presumably, you would consider, you know, a Saka in game week 31 after he's played City this week. But it's difficult, right? Because Salah, Palmer, and kind of Garnacho feel like they're difficult to drop because of the budget that it allows, which means one of Foden, Son, Saka has to not be included. And for a lot of us, that is what it boils down to, right? When we're looking to get Salah in next week, one of Foden, Son, Saka probably has to go.
Has to go, yeah.
Probably has to go. And I mean, before we discuss ours, it'd be interesting to know what people in the chat are doing. We've also haven't asked for anyone to like the stream at all. So if you haven't liked, that would be fantastic, and subscribe. But yeah, I think you're thinking is Son, but how do you picture those three? You're not selling Son.
I would love to keep Son. Like, I would, yeah. I personally would sell Foden over Son. I'll have to make that decision next week. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to promise anything because it might be a fund issue, right?
Yeah.
For example, I could sell Son and get a more decent fifth midfielder, as you mentioned, like an Eze or Sarabia, instead of having to sell Son and then downgrading a defensive asset to like a super cheap, you know, defensive asset. Mm-hmm. But you did convince me about the Crystal Palace defender. So yeah, those are the two issues for me. Like, I know funds are not going to matter from 35 onwards, but
they matter now.
Actually, it does. It affects me right now. It affects me right now. Mm. And I would love to keep Son all the way till 34 because I think I have enough transfers to exit out of Son in 34 anyways.
Okay. Interesting.
But go ahead.
No, go on. You go on. I was going to change topic.
Yeah. So it's just between those two. And I don't see myself selling Saka with the 34 coming up.
Yeah, and Luton at home next week, you won't want to sell him for that either. So
that too.
Cool. The other thing on wildcard is the forwards. A lot of people moving off Watkins, a lot of people moving off Solanke to buy Darwin and Isaac mainly. I don't know how you feel about those. I like the Darwin pick. Isaac worries me with his injury record. Just the way Newcastle are playing, I think he's a great forward, but I do have my reservations. I understand why people are doing it because they are going to double most likely in 37. If you were wildcarding this week, would that be your front three, or is there anyone else that takes your fancy?
Yeah. I think you should wait on Isak, right? Like, yes, they have West Ham, Everton, Fulham. Everton, Fulham, by the way, not that easy. And then Tottenham, maybe a easier attacking fixture, but I think you can wait on Isak if you can, right? Because did he play? I think he played full 90 minutes during the international break.
Twice over the break.
Exactly. twice, exactly. So I read that somewhere too, and maybe just it'd be good to see a couple of games just to see if Newcastle bounce back. Like, I'm not ruling Newcastle out right now. Like, now the fixtures are in play for them to show form. Fixtures breed form, but I wouldn't be fully confident to invest in him right now.
Who would you go with instead? Would you try and force Watkins in? The other one is Rasmus Højlund, which I quite like. The only issue with that is if you're going Garnacho as well, the short-term fixtures are not great. Chelsea and Liverpool in two of the next three, which is not ideal for them. But I quite like him after that. The fixtures are really nice for them.
Yeah. I guess you're stuck on options then, right? Because Jackson is no goal for now. Again,
yeah, 9 yellows. He'll get his 10th yellow as well. I'm fully expecting a 10th yellow.
Yeah, people talking about Muniz, but yeah, I'm not there. So Solanke, Holland, Watkins, Darwin, Højlund. I guess those are the only options, right?
Yeah. So you can understand why people are ending up on Isak.
Yeah.
Maybe you go 3-5-2 as Justin is saying and get a cheaper one, which can definitely work. The only issue with that is Palmer and Garnacho are just such good picks. They're so good at their price with the doubles they're going to have and the fixtures they have later on that it's difficult.
Let's talk about United just a bit, right? Because like we're talking about Garnacho and Højlund and whatever the other defensive, Maguire, right? Like,
Dallow,
so, okay,
Onana,
first of all, Onana. So what's their fixture? When do their fixtures turn really good?
33. So
33.
Their fixture run goes, so they play Brentford this week, then they play Chelsea and Liverpool in 31 and 32, but then they go Bournemouth away, Sheffield United at home, Burnley at home, Palace away, likely Dublin 37, then Brighton away.
Yeah, did you watch that game, Liverpool and United game?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was obviously an amazing game, right? Really exciting towards the end, goal fest. But if you look at that first half, there was like no midfield for United. It was McTominay and Maino starting in the midfield. And I just felt like a lot of the times it was like 5-0-5 type of formation, you know? So I don't know. I think that I'm not so convinced that, I guess FPL is a different way to think about it. Like, you know, maybe if you have an attacking asset, they'll get the returns, but it didn't, like, they're just very unpredictable, I feel like. And yeah.
But
it doesn't give me,
That was Liverpool though. Like when they get to 34 and they have Sheffield United at home, Burnley at home, Palace away, and then a double. They're not playing, you know, that Liverpool team every week. I'm like short term, it's difficult, right? Brentford away, Chelsea away, Liverpool at home. But from 33 onwards, the fixtures are so nice.
Yeah, but I almost think that Liverpool game played into their hands, right? Because Liverpool's also very attacking.
Yeah.
So why I mentioned that 5-0-5 is, I know it was like talked about a lot after the game. But yeah, I don't know how they're going to break down these lower tier teams in the league that might sit back is the question I want to pose. But anyways.
Yeah, it's true. Which maybe is why you don't want to spend as much on a Højlund or Fernandes, but Garnacho at 4.9, given what it allows you to do with Salah, Son, Haaland.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I like that. Cool. How long have we been? Almost an hour. Okay. So what we've got to have a look at finally is the projections for this week. So this is from Rob T FPL. So what this has a look at is predicted goals, predicted clean sheet chance for the weekend. Teams predicted to score the most goals are Spurs, Liverpool, Chelsea. The three captaincy options this week are from Spurs, Liverpool and Chelsea. Cole Palmer, some people fancy. Mo Salah, of course, and Heung-min Son as well. The data backs it up. I think we're in agreement that Salah is the best captain if you owned both.
No.
You think Son, if you owned both, you'd captain Son?
I mean, I don't think he's outstandingly the best captain.
No, but I think he's the best. I think I'd have him top.
All right, fine. Like, I mean, yeah, but I maybe the bias is kicking in here.
Yeah.
All right, fine. I'll put Salah top. But I'm happy to captain Son. I'm very happy to captain Son. Yeah.
This made me feel good about it, I have to admit. This made me feel less stressed than I was before.
The 3.15?
Yeah.
It is very high.
Apparently, it's like the fifth highest there's been for any team so far this season.
You know what it is, man? You know what it is? Like, this is what it is. He's going to get the chances. Like, however many chances, I don't know. But for sure, he's going to get the chances. Maybe one or two.
Mm.
He just needs to convert that. That's all it is. And the one or two to convert, we're banking on the best finisher in the league, right? So,
it's the fourth highest projected XG this season. Only the three teams above, the three times above them, have all been Man City against Sheffield United, Bournemouth, and Luton at home this season. And then fourth.
Think about it this way, Harry. Yeah, like sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead.
No, that was it. Fourth is this game.
Like. They press like crazy, Tottenham, right? And they just got super tired. You saw the fatigue. They just got smashed by Fulham, and they had a 2-week break. Richarlison's coming back. Yes, Son played a lot of minutes, but he's played a lot of minutes his whole career. By the way, there's rumors swirling about Son having to redo a contract this year. They're talking about like a special Harry Kane situation because, you know, Tottenham never pay a lot, right? So so there's that swirling around as well. Like, they're going to come out wanting to win, right? Yeah. And so I feel like it's there. I feel like the goals are there. So I feel good about Son captain this week, besides my bias.
I'm fine with it. But I suppose it's not owning Salah at all worries me. If you own both. and someone told me I own both and I'm captaining Son, I'd be like, I probably wouldn't do that, but I don't have a like reservation with it. Not having a Liverpool player in my team for this fixture is probably what concerns me the most. Like, I don't have Darwin, I don't have a Van Dijk, I don't have a Salah, I have no cover for that game. And I hate having no Liverpool cover when they're playing like this.
I agree, but we also have a secret weapon in Ollie Watkins, right? So
hopefully, fingers crossed, Watkins and Solanke come in this week.
Yeah, I mean, Watkins, man, he's the Messiah, right? Like, he's going to deliver this week.
Yeah. Cool. Let's get our teams up as we wrap up and have a look at next game week. So we've got our teams up on screen now. Things are looking a little bit different, particularly defensively and particularly with money in the bank and routes to get Salah back. So we both have one free transfer. So Andy, do you want to start? Have a little chat about what your plan is this week?
Yeah, before I do that, guys, please, please, please do hit the like button. You know, we still have a lot of viewers for the latter part of the season. I know usually a lot of people, the engagement goes down, this and that, but it's really nice to see a lot of familiar faces. It really helps the algo. I want to give back to FF Scout the most I can. So a like, subscribe really helps. And any comments you have, please put it after the video. So I wanted to do the quick plug. By the way, also big, 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 big congratulations to my friend Harry for getting to 100,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. I think a ridiculously amazing achievement that not many in the world can do. So big congratulations to you, my friend.
Appreciate it.
You must be feeling good.
Yeah, man. It was a great feeling, I can't lie. Crazy. I love the streams and stuff so much. So the fact that people helped me get there was, mental. I can't wait to see or just keep going with it.
How many years has it been since you started?
Like four and a half now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. All right. So in goal, I have Neto, Gabriel, Zabarni, Pedro Porro, Richarlison, Foden, Palmer, Son, captain. Up top, Solanke, Holland, Watkins. First on the bench, Saka, Saliba, and Taylor. So I think we're good to go. I'm going to roll. And then next week we'll be somehow bringing in Salah for Foden.
What's the plan for Salah?
So it'd be Salah, Foden, Watkins. I mean, right now, Darwin, but after talking to you, maybe my thoughts have changed. But Watkins, Darwin. And then Richarlison down to someone like Eze.
Can you afford, can you, out of Sarabia. Interest, can you afford that? It's Richarlison, so. Richarlison to Eze, Watkins to Darwin, Foden to Salah. I quite like that.
I think so, but maybe I'm wrong. I think I...
Okay.
How much is Eze?
Six.
Potentially then, yeah.
Or someone if like I can't, Sarabia.
Yeah, if I can't, it has to be Son to Salah, right? If I want to do that Richarlison down. Or I could do Foden to Salah and then, you know, figure it out somewhere else.
Yeah. You've got what? One, two. You've already got six doublers for that. So, I mean, you could do Saliba. Yeah, yeah. They've got Luton next week, so you probably won't. But you could do Saliba to a cheaper defender and pivot to triple Ars- to double Arsenal attack. But yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. We'll see next week. We'll see. What I did try is to see if I could get Salah by a -4 this week, but there's just no round for me because my funds are so tight.
Gee whiz, that's not
good?
Yeah, sorry. Gee whiz, he hid the other one. They've got it. Yeah, looking at my team is different because I've got Trippier. I feel like no one's got Trippier anymore. And I hate having him, but if he's going to be available for West Ham at home, Everton at home, then I'll probably keep him.
Yeah.
So my transfers this week completely revolve around what I'm going to do with Trippier. So if Trippier's available, I'll probably roll for this week. And then next week I'll sell probably Trippier, Gordon, Watkins. My plan at the moment is Trippier, Gordon, Watkins to Mateta, Salah, and like an 8 Nori or a Ben White or something. I could get double defense, but I probably want to leave that open to get Odegaard or someone in. If Trippier's out, things become a little bit more complicated. Because if Trippier's out, because I've got Gabriel and Doughty on the bench, I'll probably sell Trippier this week anyway, because I'm going to sell him next week. So I'll probably sell him this week to someone cheap, like an 8 Nori or like a Munoz if he was fit. Which suddenly leaves me with a lot of money in the bank.
Yep.
So it leaves me almost 5 million in the bank. So I'm 0.1 short, and I hate being 0.1 short, of Trippier to 8 Nori and Foden to Salah.
Oh. That sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. So there are ways that I could free up that 0.1 if I wanted to do it this week. Because if Trippier's out, it then forces my hand and I've suddenly got the money in the bank. The other ways I could do it would be Kaminsky to Dean Henderson at Palace.
Okay.
Would give me a doubling goalkeeper. Would give me a double, you know, better fixtures in the short term because Areola and Kaminsky have awful fixtures. I could do Doughty down to the other one. So I could do Trippier to 8 Nori and Doughty to a Munoz. And get the 0.1 that way, and then do Foden to Salah. All of these are -8s, though. But that would allow me to keep Watkins for longer because it means I don't have to sell him to buy Salah. So if... Yeah, so Pablo's saying Totti in at 4.4. I could just go to Richards, Trippier to Richards, Foden to Salah, and not worry about the attacking fullbacks this week. So there are... permutations. Trippier being available, I probably roll. Trippier being out, it may well force a -4 to get Salah, and it will be Foden that leaves.
What are you going to do if the press conference today ends up being...
Tomorrow, it ends up being completely useless, as I fully expect
Yeah. You're going to sell?
I really don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know. If he says something like, oh, he's close, he might be available, I'll probably roll. I'll probably err on the side of caution. Yeah. I think, but it's possible that I end up doing it anyway. Because, Trippier's not that great a pick. Like, I'll happily keep him. But if I've only got a 50% chance he plays, and I can get Salah, then... So we'll see what Eddie Howe says tomorrow.
Yeah,
Every night, 8 Nori has been predicted to rise in price this week, and I could really do with him not rising again tonight. He's so close every night to rising.
Yeah, I almost think that you need one more week, instead of... I think the best case scenario for you is to know that Trippier is okay to play this week.
Yeah. I think that's probably the sensible thing.
Yeah. When did you get Gusto, man? Like, what?
So I bought him in 28 and just benched him. That was my game week 28 transfer, which is probably the most boring transfer I've ever made. I sold someone who was... Oh, no, I sold Charlie Taylor to Gusto and benched Gusto against Newcastle. Knowing that I'd want him for this week. Your team is
looking almost like a wild card team without a free hit. Wild card 30 team. It looks really nice.
Yeah, I just need a goalkeeper. But, like, people are going Petrovic. Like, fine. But I've got Gusto to cover that, so.
Yeah.
Petrovic looks like a good buy now with Sanchez looking like he's injured again. So, I mean, he's first choice anyway, but.
If Sanchez wasn't injured, he's still, regardless, first choice, even with the fixture congestion.
Yes. Yeah. First choice, yes. Nailed, no. When we get to game week 37, and if we have nothing to play for, I fully could see Sanchez playing one in the double.
What happened to Sanchez? Like, you know, he was Brighton star boy. Like,
yeah, he's been fine for us, but he was always not great with passing and kicking out. His shot stopping's great, but playing with the ball has been awful. And we've conceded... It really got highlighted. I don't know if you remember. We were 2-0 up against Arsenal at home. And we drew the game 2-2. The first game came because he just kicked it straight to Declan Rice. And Declan Rice just put it in the back of the net. And then he got injured for 2 months. And Petrovic came in and was good. Did absolutely nothing wrong. And was better at passing than him. So, yeah, that's what happened. Any questions? Any questions in the chat? We've got a little bit of time.
Gusto nailed later down the line. I mean, not that it matters right now.
I mean, Reece James is expected back by... I mean, he's expected back by 37. Do I think Reece James is going to start both in the double? Absolutely not. Do I think there's a chance Reece James doesn't start either in the double? Yes. But it's just worth mentioning that he might be back. He might be back by then. But if I was wildcarding this week, I would just go Gusto.
Okay.
I would just go Gusto. What do you think about Lascelles? One of the questions Justin's asking. Of course, he's 3.9. Just seems like a nice enabler with Botman out.
Yeah, if you're having to navigate, I guess, again, if we were to exclude all the doubles and chip permutations and this and that, right? Newcastle have very, very good fixtures from here on out, including a double. So I think a very good enabler, placeholder.
Mm-hmm.
Just have him in your team. And again, we spoke about early on the pod, like, yeah, Newcastle's been struggling, but fixtures breed form. And maybe this is a time you can get a couple of, how much is he? 3.9?
Mm-hmm.
You know, $3.9 million clean sheets, right? So. Yeah, I don't mind it at all.
If you had Son, Madison and Richarlison with funds to sell any of them to Salah, who would you sell first?
I think it would be Madison. I know it sounds crazy, but if I knew Richarlison was playing, if game week 30 finished and we knew he started and played like 70 plus minutes, I think I would sell Madison first. Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I'd probably sell Madison first and take the risk anyway, because the chances are you're probably going to sell the other one at some point anyway.
He's just playing a little too deep for me, man. Mm. Like, even though he's on set pieces, Poro's taken over a couple, you know, Son on pens. Mm-hmm. It's just Richarlison and Son are the ones that are most threatening.
Mm. Sokan, this is a question that I've seen going around everywhere. Would you sell Watkins as part of a -4 if it meant buying Salah this week? So, like, if you did Watkins to Mateta and a
Son.
Foden to Salah.
Oh.
If you could bench Mateta, I suppose.
Yeah.
Watkins for a -4 to buy Salah. For me, the grass.
I think I would.
Yeah, the grass always seems greener.
Yeah.
And Salah is the grass is always greener on the other side. So I look at it and wish I had him.
Yeah, but if you do that and Salah doesn't do well, and let's say Watkins does well and Son does well, I mean, Son doesn't matter. Let's say Watkins does well and Salah doesn't do well. Not only are you losing points this week, you're additionally losing -4 most likely against the field next week, right? Or yeah, are true. We also taking a -4 to bring him in?
I mean, it would probably be free next week in this situation.
Yeah, yeah.
But then going into next week, you can do something else with your transfer. I probably would do it. I mean, that being said, then why am I not doing it? That's a good question.
What's his ownership going to be this week? Is it?
I have no idea.
Deadly?
I don't know.
I don't think it's that bad.
Could I do Watkins and Foden too? Oh, I could. Oh, no. Oh, no.
All right, go. Whoever asked that question, join Harry's deadline stream.
Oh, no.
And you'll know the answer then.
Sokan, what have you done? What have you done? I could do, Foden and Watkins to Salah. And then I could just play Gordon, who's sat on my bench at the moment.
Yeah, West Ham too.
I mean,
ooh,
that relies on...
That sounds nice.
Yeah, it does. The thing is with these transfers is so much of it will come down to whether Salah outscores Son. Because the Watkins versus, you know, and Foden thing is one part. But if I bring in Salah and he outscores Son by 4 points and I've captained him, that's suddenly an 8-point gain there. But even if, you know, Watkins and Foden both blank, if Son outscores Salah and I've not captained Son anymore, I'm then losing there. So there's whole added development.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Salah scares me.
Fear not, non-Salah owners. We'll be fine.
We'll see. See which side of the fence I fall.
So I was doing a little house cleaning today, and I have a bunch of jerseys from the past, and I found one. Do you know Swansea?
I do know Swansea, yeah.
Yeah. So, 2014-15.
Oh.
Yeah. And I had a Son Leverkusen jersey. This is when before Son exploded.
Oh, those are the days.
Just wanted to share. I was like right next to me.
That's a real flex when you have an OG shirt from a player before.
Yeah, man. Dude, I've been following his career since Hamburg, and he was banging in these curlers in Bundesliga before he came to Tottenham. And, you know, I mean, I'm glad he's gotten famous and stuff. But, yeah, there are not that many Asian players that were stars, like, you know, potential stars back then. Yeah, yeah. So, followed his career closely.
Cool. I think that is everything for today's stream. Let's hope that Son continues his rise to stardom and he gets some more goals this weekend. His rise to stardom, he's already reached it. But yeah, I think that's everything for this week. We'll be back at some point next week. Of course, there's two game weeks next week. We haven't fully decided on a schedule for next week, but we will be back at some point. Thank you all very much for watching. Andy, thank you for joining. You can go and relax after your many flights this week.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. And yeah, good luck this week. Team Son for now. And we'll see you all again next week. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.